Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We'll play Pick a Player coming up in an hour. Eddie Olczyk with his pick for the Preakness in 90 minutes. That was LeBron James. The audio brought to you by Casper Sleep. With a 100-night risk-free trial, you can discover how Casper has become the Internet's favorite mattress. Go to Casper.com today for special Memorial Day savings. Casper.com. You might have forgotten about the Eastern Conference Finals because by the time they play tomorrow, it will have been 72 hours since their last game.
Yeah, let's go. Too much refractory period.
But LeBron has his back against the wall. He's going home, and no one in the media, I think, more associated with Nick Wright or with LeBron James from a positive spectrum anyway than Nick Wright, the morning host at Fox Sports 1 with Chris Carter and Jenna Wolf on First Things First. Nick, how's it going, man? You think LeBron has a comeback in him this series?
Before I get to that, it's great to join you once again, Danny. I've lost count of how many times you and I have spoken on the radio before. However, Mr. McNeil, it is an honor and pleasure to make your acquaintance, sir. This is our first time talking. Thank you for inviting me on the show as well.
Nick, great to have you. Love your enthusiasm and congratulations on the enormous success of the show, man.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate that.
I've always loved Chris Carter. Now go ahead and answer the question.
CeCe's the best. Now, your question, Danny, was, do I think that LeBron's going to even the series up at two games apiece?
Yeah, does he have a comeback in him?
Yeah, I mean, I think this thing's going to go seven games. And typically when it goes seven games, one team is more complete, one team has the better coach, and one team has home court advantage. That is the team you would go with in the seventh game. But I haven't seen LeBron James lose a game seven since he was 23 years old in 2008 against a three Hall of Famer, soon-to-be NBA champion Boston Celtics team. I don't think he's going to lose a game seven to this team, and I think they're going to win the next two home games. So with all that said, yeah, I think he's got a comeback in him.
All right, well then let's play the hypothetical game.
Yep.
Let's say he doesn't have a comeback in him, and what we've seen in the first two games carries on. What do you think happens next for LeBron James?
Well, let me tell you this. Whether he has a comeback in him or not, whether they, and I know you and most people think this is an impossibility, whether they win the championship or not, I think the same thing happens. He leaves. His final games as a Cleveland Cavalier are either happening next week or 2.5-3 weeks from now. But no matter what, he's done there. Even a championship doesn't keep him. I think it's down to three teams. I think it's Philadelphia, Los Angeles, and Houston, and I would rank them in terms of likelihood in that exact order: Philadelphia, Los Angeles, Houston.
Do you think one of those is particularly better or worse for, you know, you talk about his legacy every damn day on television. Do you think one or the other would be better or worse for his legacy?
Well, winning championships is the only way he can enhance his legacy. If he has not already, he, in short order, is going to be the most statistically accomplished player in NBA history, and the only person I even have an argument against him is Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. So championships would be the only way to enhance it. I think the Lakers are the least likely to enhance it via championships, unless there are some rumblings in NBA circles that the Lakers are going to trade for Kawhi Leonard, they're going to sign Paul George, and LeBron's going to take a discount to come join them and maybe make the money up on the back end with some movie money out in Los Angeles. That team obviously could win a championship. But LeBron plus just Paul George, I do not think, is good enough to be a favorite. Could they do it? Sure. But would they be a favorite? No. I do think LeBron plus Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid would be the overwhelming favorites in the Eastern Conference. And I think LeBron plus James Harden and Chris Paul would be at least co-favorites in the Western Conference.
Nick, in Cleveland's series against Indiana, there were moments when Kevin Love looked like a legitimate second banana. What is Boston doing that's keeping him from being a factor in this series?
You know, I think Love in game one was bad. In game two, I thought he was fine. The guys that are killing me is everyone else. JR had more flagrant fouls than points in game two. That's typically not a good strategy. I thought Ty Lue made the mistakes not getting Kyle Korver in the game. And Rodney Hood and Jordan Clarkson, who are supposed to be two of the enormous trade pieces, are simply unplayable. But the most, when you're talking about Love not being effective, it's particularly true on defense. The Cavs as a whole just did not give any effort defensively whatsoever. It was, to be totally candid, and I've watched the Cavs now this year have played, let me do the math real quick, 95 basketball games. I've watched probably 87 of them. That was some of the worst, most lackadaisical defense they've played all year in a year of bad defense. That if they play like that, they can get beat, no matter what LeBron does. I mean, you're not supposed to lose when a guy is a 40-point triple-double and you have a 7-point halftime lead, but they did.
So knowing as much as you do about LeBron, do you think he's going for 60 in this next game? Because that's kind of what I think we're seeing.
No, I actually don't think that. I think he, I would say, pardon me, I would say something around the lines of 35 points, 11 or 12 assists is more likely. If you, excuse me one second.
Oh.
Sorry, I should stop smoking. I think that he saw in this last game, he scored 16 points open game two of the Pacers series, and Victor Oladipo had a shot at the buzzer to put that game into overtime. He scored 21 points in the first quarter of game two of this series, and they lost. The way the Cavs are at their best is if other guys get involved early. I think he'll make a conscientious effort to make sure that happens.
Nick Wright from Fox Sports 1, the morning show with Chris Carter and Jenna Wolf, is our guest. The Celtics are getting a lot of love. They deserve it. Brad Stevens is great. He deserves the love he's getting. I think they're going to compete for the East for the next 5-plus years. But I saw an internet poll that said 50% of people would take Brad Stevens over Giannis. And I was arguing with a local media member here who played collegiate basketball that he said Brad Stevens is more valuable in this series than LeBron James. I find all of that to be laughable. What value
Listen, I don't mean I don't know what media member you're talking about, and I don't know if he's a colleague. But that's ludicrous. The Brad Stevens over Giannis stuff is ludicrous. This is why, by the way, Brad Stevens didn't get a single vote from his fellow coaches for Coach of the Year. Because us jackasses, pardon me, in the media, have found a way to take the best coach in the NBA and still overrate him. He's great. He's spectacular. His out-of-timeout plays are second to none. I heard an NBA coach tell me that he thinks the Celtics start most games up 10-0 just by end of quarter and out of timeout plays. But that it does not make him more valuable than the 10 best players in the league. It certainly doesn't make him more valuable than the best player in the league in LeBron James. Now, would you rather have on your franchise moving forward Brad Stevens or DeMar DeRozan? Brad Stevens. Would you rather have on your franchise moving forward Brad Stevens or, let me pick another player in that kind of area, Kevin Love? Sure, certainly Brad Stevens. Maybe you go as far as to say Bradley Beal. You'd rather have Brad Stevens. But Giannis, Kawhi, Anthony Davis, LeBron, KD, Steph, Harden, like, no. You would take the superstar.
How did we get here? Like, is it just because the media likes to overrate things? Because I could see him having a worse team in 3 years and someone else is the best coach. Like, it's not like it's some sort of guarantee that we're still going to be talking about Brad Stevens in the same way we do now 4 years from now.
Listen, I tell you a little secret on how we got here. I think almost everyone in the media got the Sixers-Celtics series wrong. And instead of us being like, oh, we anointed the Sixers too soon and we underrated the Celtics, all of our reaction has been like, well, obviously we weren't wrong. Brad Stevens is just a magician. He's a damn miracle worker.
Right.
Like, that's why. Because everyone thought Philly, and by everyone I'm including Danny Parkins, that Philly was going to win the Eastern Conference. Philly was going to be the team that beats Cleveland. Philly was going to already, they were the 95 Magic reincarnate. And so when Philly gets washed 4 out of 5 games, we don't want to say we misevaluated that. We give the credit to the coach. And by the way, again, I would have given him the coach of the year this year. I think he's outstanding, but I just think it's gotten a little over the top.
Obviously, the Bulls are going to need to go through Boston and Philly in the next few years in the Eastern Conference if they can get themselves up to that level.
And Milwaukee.
Yeah, and Milwaukee. Let's Let's assume for the sake of conversation, Nick, that LeBron doesn't go to Philly, but obviously they do something significant with the $25 million in cap space that they have. I'm telling you, the stocks are priced the same. Which stock is more valuable 5 years from now, meaning they accomplished more, Boston or Philly?
So Philly gets a star but not LeBron.
Correct.
Like, so let's, can I say Paul George?
Sure.
Wow, that's such a great question. I'm going to go with Philly, but it's very close. Now Boston maybe trades for Kawhi Leonard and doesn't like and still keeps the core in place. The reason I'm going to say Philly is I think Embiid, I think they have two guys on the team that have best player in the league potential. I don't think Boston has any, even though Tatum right now is more refined than either of those two guys. I think Simmons one day could be the best player in the league. I think Embiid one day could be the best player in the league. It's also why Philly has a much greater chance of imploding than Boston does. However, if you're asking me which stock is more likely to go to zero, I would also say Philly because I'm not sure how much Embiid and Simmons vibe with each other.
Yeah, and Embiid's injury problems and not having Stevens as a coach. Like, there's definitely more volatility on Philly than Boston, no question.
Absolutely. No. I'm not so worried about Embiid's injury stuff anymore. I'm actually more worried that Ben Simmons shoots with the wrong hand.
Yeah.
I got some LeBron props for you for tomorrow night. A double-double. You think that's a safe bet? James has a double-double?
If
you say yes, it's minus 550.
Only minus 550. That's a hell of a big delay.
Yeah, a triple-double, yes, is only plus 150. That's a good price.
Bet no on the triple-double?
Sure you can.
Yeah,
sure.
So that's probably minus 190?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah. I like that bet. Sorry, go ahead.
The points, 33.5.
Ooh.
Rebounds, 10?
Go ahead.
Rebounds, 10, and assists, 9.5.
The assist of all those bets, the one that if you want to really just be a sicko and bet individual player props for this game three, I love the over 9.5 assists. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. And the last time I was on the radio with Danny Parkins, it was on a weekend show, but I gave out some winning bets. The Cavs. This is an odd one. How about this for the gamblers out there? The Cavs are 6-point favorites for the game, but 5.5-point favorites in the first half.
So, what?
Yeah, isn't that funny? Look it up, which I think is smart, by the way, because I saw they were 6-point favorites in the game. I was going to hammer them at minus 3 in the first half. They're 5.5-point favorites in the first half, 6-point favorites in the game.
So everyone in the world's just like, LeBron's going to come out, they're going to come out, and we'll see what happens over the
course of four quarters. And then they're going to be holding on for dear life in the second half, as they have in this entire playoffs, except for the Raptors series. And by the way, I wouldn't have fired Dwayne Casey a week ago, but after these first two games, I might have fired him this week.
Yeah, good. No, that's actually a great point. How long do you have the NBA final? I mean, the Western Conference finals going?
7.
You do?
Yeah, I listen, man. You know me. I said Houston in 7. Has Houston lost 4 games yet?
No.
I'm going to stick with Houston in 7. I also do think they have a real path, man. The Chicago audience doesn't know. I lived in Houston from 2012, 2016. I know that team pretty well. I know some people around that team. Houston would tell you quietly all year long, you want to know what our goal is? Here's our goal for the season. To have the entire season come down to a best of 3 between us and Golden State, and 2 of those 3 games are in our gym. What does that mean? It means get home court advantage. They already did that. It means have it knotted at 2 games apiece after 4. Houston knows Golden State's got more talent. But they also think if we can get the sample size small enough, our 3-point variance, our home court, something crazy can happen. They're a split in Golden State away from achieving what they've worked all year to achieve. And with Steph not playing well, like, my favorite Kevin Durant stat is not his 75 points through 2 Western Conference Finals games. It's his 1 assist through 2 Western Conference Finals games. It's not a typical Warriors offense. And if you saw Draymond Green's mother went to Twitter complaining that it's not a typical Warriors offense and that other guys aren't getting involved. Like, there's a reason Andre Iguodala has taken 7 shots total and Draymond Green has taken 10 shots total through 2 games. KD's been unguardable, but his offense has not been infectious the way Steph's offense is when he's going.
Great stuff. People should be watching you. Nick Wright, First Things First, in the mornings on Fox Sports 1 with Chris Carter and Jenna Wolf. Talk to you soon, buddy.
Absolutely. Great to talk to both of you guys. Have a great rest of your day.
Thanks, Nick.
That's Nick Wright from Fox Sports 1. Yes, he is a talking head on TV, but the number of NBA people that he actually speaks to, like, he is a very informed.
He sounds like he knows his NBA onions.
Yeah, and he talks to a lot of movers and shakers in the NBA. We'll play Pick a Player coming up at 4, some Cubs stuff that I know we both wanted to get to, some off the Jed Hoyer conversation from earlier, and some off just where they are 40 games into the season. We'll do it coming up. McNeil and Parkett's on the Score. It's just a really frustrating thing if they are mentally coasting when all they talked about at spring training was we're rested, we're refreshed, we're going to come out hot.
I don't think it's a matter of focus. I think it's a matter of the sport being a sport that's littered with failure. You see guys make mistakes. You see, you know, I've been on Al Mora for a couple of at-bats the other night, but at the same it's the same game when he made another highlight reel catch.
Yeah, he has not been the problem.
You're going to have bad at-bats. You're going to have guys who aren't patient. I also, and he alluded to it there, Jed Hoyer did, I'm fed up with the walks. That's not acceptable. The Cubs pitching staff has issued the fourth most walks in all of baseball. The White Sox, by the way, they're number one. They've given the most walks up. You got to cut those down. You know, and that it doesn't help your defense stay focused. And again, I don't think that's it. I just think it's part of the game. They're going to play to form. They've played 40 games.
No, they're going to play to form. I agree with that. It's just if Jed's going to say that it's focus, like that's not some media idiot saying it's focus, right? That's not a fan on Twitter saying it's focus. That's the general manager of the Cubs saying, I have to at least take it with some degree of credence if he thinks that is contributing to their issues, at least on the defensive side of the ball.
All right, let's go over some examples of when Cubs players in recent games, whether they're wins or losses, have lacked focus.
I thought Javi's throw to second when he got the ball, obviously playing second base, was a relatively routine play that he seemed to be lackadaisical on. And he airmailed it into short left field. He was way wide of Addison Russell coming over to cover second. That did not seem like he was executing that throw with 100% attention to detail. That would be one that I would posit to
you. All right. I see Javi Baez throwing errors as mistakes I would attribute to his overexcitability. He's often so jacked up out there. He makes a great defensive play, and he's got to make a great throw. And he gets so excited, he airmails it. He throws it over Rizzo's head. We've seen that a few times this year.
Yeah, and sometimes what he does, it's the other way, too, right? Because he's so smooth. Like, he's like Javi Baez is the guy that is a lot of swagger, very smooth, tremendous hand-eye coordination, plays the game with a lot of flair. And so sometimes it can be too casual, I think.
Yeah.
When I'm watching him, I'm sometimes thinking, man, the guy's just, he's looking really good out there. And then he doesn't execute it completely perfectly, and that leads to the breakdown. Because Javi Baez can make the spectacular play, and then he'll make the error on the three-hopper that's right to him going slow.
The times we've had fun at Kyle Schwarber's expense for his defensive inadequacies, I'm not going to call that a lack of focus.
No.
I'm going to call that a lack of aptitude.
No, it's when good players struggle defensively that you would bring it up being focus, right? You would think of Al Mora, Hayward, Contreras,
that
Baez.
Colorado sun, that stadium has to be the worst stadium in the league for right fielders because he was having trouble the entire weekend at Coors Field.
What about Contreras? He's airmailed a couple.
Yeah, but
gets a little casual sometimes trying to scoop the ball instead of blocking it.
I for the most part, I like what I've seen from Contreras. He's a high-risk, high-reward player. I want him throwing to second base. I want him trying to get runners.
No, that's a tremendous skill of his, throwing behind runners, no question. 30 minutes from Pick a Player on the Score. So what Cubs concerns would you say are legitimate? We're 40 games into the season. What Cubs concerns do you think we'll still have 120 games into
the season? I've only got three of them.
Okay.
Your third, fourth, and fifth starters.
That ain't great. Especially because it's not like Leicester is dominant.
Exactly.
I mean, I think Hendricks is going to be fine. I mean, he is fine, but I think Hendricks will have some gems coming up here.
I think so too. And for as off the mark as Tyler Chatwood has been this year, leading the league in walks, he's managed to battle through that and post a relatively respectable earned run average in the low threes, right?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, but Chatwood, the peripherals, like he's gotta clean it up. And the last start, sure. The last start was better, but like you said, we're not going to be taking two walks as some sort of great parade, right? Like, you know what I mean? He's got to get better. So you think 80 games from now, both Quintana and Darvish are both still question marks?
If they are, then this thing's going to go down till the last week of the season.
Yeah, I think
one of them's got to pick it up.
I think at least one of them corrects by then and pitches to the back of their baseball card. I don't have great confidence of telling you which one it's going to be, but I will have faith that one of those two is going to get it right. Man, Quintana has been so damn consistent throughout his career, even if it's not spectacular. Like, it just, the problems, you know, air quotes, that he's had, they don't make a whole heck of a lot of sense to me. I know the hard hit rate is up and all of that, but like, there's no sign of athletic decline or fatigue or velocity.
Shouldn't
or
be.
Injury.
Still a young man.
That's what I'm saying. Like, Jose Quintana pitching in the National League with the Cubs defense behind him should be good to go seven innings very consistently.
I think ultimately they're going to score enough runs where their blemishes on their pitching staff will be survivable. They're just getting going offensively, and they've ascended to the top echelon in many categories in all of baseball.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's a good
offense.
They're
still not there in home runs. I think they're 18th in home runs, but they're fourth, I think, in on-base percentage. Their slugging is top 10. Their OPS is now top 10. So those – and they're just getting going. They didn't hit for a while.
Yeah. No question. And in terms of some of the counting stats, they're still far back in games. I mean, they've had six games now postponed. They're 5-6 games behind some of these teams just in the standings column, whether it's wins or losses, just in terms of games played.
Mm-hmm.
So for the counting stats, they're behind there. And obviously the cold weather with the offensive numbers – I think one of the two starters at least will get right. Right, they got seven or eight starts between them now. I think by the time they're at 21 starts, 22 starts, I think that one or both will have pitched to their numbers. I think Rizzo will be fine as long as the back isn't a, like, he seems to have one back issue a year. As long as this one isn't an ailment. Like, and I was reading Sahadev Sharma's column today, and it was really good. He went through each thing in terms of level of concern and talked about how concerning they were for long-term thing. The thing he said he was most concerned about was, and I'll paraphrase this, I don't have all the numbers in front of me, was the hot and cold nature of the lineup. That, like, last year you could take a chunk of 40 games and they scored such a huge, overwhelming percentage of their runs in those games.
Yeah.
And then the rest of them, which I would imagine, like, is not too dissimilar for other teams in baseball.
They recently went from the White Sox facing the White Sox pitching staff to the Braves pitching staff. That's kind of a marked jump in talent to go to Atlanta from the Sox.
Right, and the key is to stack wins. Like, the key is to beat up on the bad teams. So, like, this weekend, you play the Reds. If the weather cooperates, and we can take a few calls on Cubs if people want, 312-644-6767, in terms of concerns that'll linger. Before we play Can't Do It coming up at 4. But this, you're supposed to beat the bad teams, pile it up, get your seating, get your standing, and then come playoff time, whoever's hot and a bunch of coin flips and right. Home field, like, that's just kind of how it works. So this weekend against the Reds, everybody but Chatwood pitches, right? I think it's Leicester tonight, Quintana and Hendricks in the doubleheader on Saturday, and Darvish on Sunday. So the four pitchers that you potentially give the ball to in a playoff series all pitch against, yeah, a team that's 12-11 in their last 23 games, but they're the clear cellar dwellers in your division. Like, go win three of four.
You got to, yes.
Go score 32 runs over four games.
Greedy bastard.
You know what I mean? Like go out there and go kick some ass. Go dominate. And just get right against the bad teams, because that's how at the end of the year you win 97 games instead of 88, 89, and you're worried about a wild card and letting these other teams hang around with their alligator blood.
Hanging around. Check.
That's kind of where I'm at. I don't know which of the concerns, but I thought that was a pretty good one from Sahadev, the inconsistencies and all or nothing nature of the offense, because that was what they were supposed to change.
Right. And that's been their undoing in recent playoff failures as well.
Yeah. Yeah. I know exactly.
Offense goes to sleep.
I know. The inconsistencies of the offense against good pitching when it's been cold in playoff time. 312-644-6767. Shirley, you're on McNeil and Parkins. What's up, Shirley?
Dan Parkins, I am so sorry for last night calling you Dan Parker. And also, Danny Mac, I was not drinking anything but ice water.
That a girl.
It's a tremendous correction.
Shirley, if you were having a cocktail, what would it be? Maybe an old-fashioned?
No, a veal and water with a slice of lemon on the rock.
All right. Veal and water, Shirley.
Live it up, Shirley. So who's Dan Parker?
There is it. I was nervous last night like I'm nervous right now, so I'll probably mess up again. I meant Parkins. I didn't mean Parker.
Oh, don't be nervous. Don't be nervous. Everything's fine, Shirley. You think the Cubs are going to be okay?
Yeah, they're one game ahead of where they were this time last year, I heard. They were doing lousy last year, so they're not doing much better this year. But they're straightened out. Rizzo will be fine. He'll find the bat and the ball pretty soon, I hope.
Yeah, no, that sounds fair. When you called Les last night and you said the Cubs trade people about Russell, who were you talking about? We couldn't figure it out.
Okay, it was either you guys or Lawrence, but somebody came on there on what, because I listen to ESPN all day and all night. And somebody came on there, and I don't know if it was Theo or that other guy that's in charge of the trade thing.
Yeah, Jed, Theo's sidekick, yeah.
Okay, and one of them said that it's messing with Russell's head, and it gets him down, and that Russell was not going to be traded. Because I sat right here and heard it with my two ears.
Well, that's a good place to hear stuff.
It is.
All right, well, I don't know. I didn't hear it.
So, and also, somebody else come on, and I guess Russell now is working with a new coach they just hired that used to be a ball player. And Russell, this guy, wasn't Russell on, this was this other man talking to one of you guys on sometime. So anyway, he came on and said Russell had told him that all he had ever had was his natural talent. But this guy is teaching him how to use his legs and not overthrow the ball when he throws it to Russell and hit him in the chest with it. And that it's improving him a whole lot better shortstop.
All right. Well, I mean, that's good to know. Thanks for the call,
Shirley. That's a good scouting report.
Thank you for listening with both ears. We appreciate you.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Go have a VO and water with a slice of lemon.
Don't be a stranger, Shirley. That was lovely.
It's good to have Shirley check in. She was nervous. Think of how Les felt doing 7 hours of radio after getting his brains beaten in and it was still 45-minute trivia bout.
Yeah, he could relate to buckling under the pressure. The call. All right, well, don't be a stranger, Shirley. You know the name of the show. We weren't defended. Oh, God. All right, we'll take more of your reaction if you can top that before pick a player at 4 on the score. Oh, really? How about that? Is that a shot from Molly and Hanley? I think it might have been. I couldn't tell if it was or not.
I heard Swerskin there. That must have been the day of the announcement. We made it 8 o'clock before.
No, that was this morning.
That was this morning?
He was talking about losing his voice and needing a Slurpee.
Really?
Yeah.
Because I heard the Bulls music, and I assumed it was from when the station made the announcement that the Bulls, because Mully did that as well.
You want to play it again for him, Tanny, if you don't mind? That's really good. That's well played by Brian Hanley from the Mully and Hanley Show.
No question. I hope he didn't paralyze his vocal cord.
No. Ooh, that's serious stuff.
He's in for a nasty 8 weeks if he did.
They had good stuff with Peter Gammons this morning. Yeah, those collagen injections, man, they don't sound fun.
No, it's a very unpleasant experience.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't wish it. Well, there might be a few I'd wish it on.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
Nobody in this room.
Thank you.
Yeah. But, yeah, hopefully all done with that. After 8 weeks of fighting it, hopefully we're out of the woods. Feeling better about that.
That'd be great.
Yeah, that would be good.
It'd be great if Mully and Hanley would unblock me from their Twitter account. That'd be good, too. But, you know, we all can't get everything in this life, Mac. I don't know why that ever happened.
I think all you need to do is ask.
You think so?
Yes.
I hope so.
Hey, Kevbo's here today. Why don't you ask him?
Hey, Kevbo.
What up?
Did you block me from their Twitter account?
I didn't, but I will also not unblock you.
Okay.
Kevbo, can you broker a sit-down?
Chain of command, you know.
Good deal. Forgot Kevbo was here.
Yeah,
we all kind of did.
Right.
This thing is taking a wild left turn.
Marco, you're a big wire guy. You understand the chain of command. You know, it's all politics.
Yeah, of course. No problem. All right. Well, yeah, I'll just ask Molly next time I see him. I assume that's, or Dustin. Who do I ask, Kevbo? Who's at the top of that chain of command?
Kevbo just kind of reports to the guy on top of him, right?
Well, I'm just, but he should know the chain of command for the morning show.
Well, I'm not completely, you know, versed in who makes what calls on Twitter and what happens there. It's kind of out of the realm of my jurisdiction. So
I'm really enjoying this.
I just push buttons.
Thanks, A-Rod.
Okay, interesting. It's time for you. I'll ask Mully and Dustin.
I've never blocked anybody, for the record. Even the most ardent, hateful people.
That's good.
Yeah, it does. You know, they don't hurt me.
That's good.
Yeah, words can't hurt. Flex your internet muscles all you want.
I just want to know who's coming up on the show. I don't understand. One day I just woke up and I was blocked. It's a weird thing. What's a great thing is we can give someone a shot at $1,000. It's time for your chance to win $1,000 in cash on the score. This hour's keyword is laser. Text laser to 72881 by the end of the hour. Again, the keyword is laser to 72881. One randomly selected nationwide entrant from this hour will win. Please do not text and drive. Message and data rates may apply. You say data or data?
I usually say data.
Data or data.
I don't get uptight on that one either way.
Yeah, I wasn't sure. I always like take that for data. The coach who said, Fizdale, who said that. So I go data, personally. But they're both fine. I was just curious.
Yeah, I think they're both fine.
You want to pick a call? We only have time for one.
Sure, let's try Northwest Indiana.
All right. What up, Fred? You're on the score.
All right, good afternoon, gentlemen.
Hey, Fred.
The one thing that has me nervous a little bit is I agree with your guys' arguments. They haven't played that many games, and the weather's been lousy. But I think what has been good is the bullpen pitching up until recently, and I think that if these starters can't start eating up some more innings, that when you start getting into that later grind in the year, that the bullpen's going to be spent. And the other thing I'd like to see is that the Cub hitters be a little more patient when they have runners on base. Usually they're a very patient ball club and stuff, but lately they've just been swinging.
Thank you for checking in, Fred. I share your fondness for the bullpen. It's done its job this year, and that's key. And you're right about shorter starts. Some of that is by design early in the year before guys get stretched out and are going to even be given a chance to work into the sixth, seventh innings. But they've got to get those starts going a little bit longer. If they don't, you're going to wear that bullpen out before you get to the dog days of summer.
Especially Morrow, who's got his injury concerns, right? You want to be able to keep his workload relatively in check. They've got plenty of bullpen arms back there. But no, to your point, right? You said your concerns were the third, fourth, and fifth starter.
Right.
So there's been enough problems where those guys are not going deep into games.
Yeah.
It's been 60% of the rotation.
Yeah, your bullpen it's had to be good because of that. And they have been, fortunately, for the Cub.
All right, we got to get some contestants.
You all right?
I'm great. Okay. How are you? I'm fantastic.
I'm good.
Are you okay?
I'm absolutely terrific.
Good. Do I not seem okay?
I want to keep the string going Monday. You and me together in the same room.
Where am I going to be?
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, stop. I canceled the trip to Denver because I didn't feel like I could miss any shows. My friends are in Denver this weekend. It's true. 312-644-6767. Our players this week, Kyle Hendricks, Chuck Swirsky, Chris Bryant, and Nicky Delmonico. Hendricks, Swirsk, Bryant, Delmonico. That means we need four contestants to come on to play pick a player. Coming up next on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.